Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of the Wise Shall Understand Bible Prophecy Radio Bible Study. My name is Jeff Greider, and I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege, as I do every Sunday night, of being your radio host and Bible teacher. It's been a week. It's been a big week. It's been a crazy week. As many of you know, as all of you know, NowTheEndBegins.com has been turned off by the Internet Regulating Society, due to what they are calling a paperwork violation. But when I explain it to you in just a little bit, you're going to see that maybe it's a little more than that. But I'll let you make up your own minds when you hear what's been happening. But we have Bible study to do tonight. Whether or not we have a website or whether or not we have anything else, the Bible says, you know what God says about his word? God says some funny things about his word. You know, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But let me tell you what it says about God's word in Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Isn't that an amazing thing? God puts the Bible above the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you can go ahead and call me a heretic, but you tell me what Psalm 138:2 means. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's Jehovah, that's Yeshua, that's God the Father, that's God the Son, that's God the Holy Spirit, that's Elohim, that's El Shaddai, that's Jehovah Jireh, all his name. That's where God puts his word, above that. God gave us a book, and whether or not we continue to have a website to go with that book, that's for God to decide. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask for his blessing tonight, and let's get this show on the road. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for your long suffering. We thank you, God, that you give us work to do for your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you personally for all the ones that you assemble every Sunday night to come hear your word preached and taught by me, a jackass like me. And Lord, I will confess that I rarely feel qualified to do this broadcast. But Lord, you're good, and this is what you've given me to do. And I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for it. So Lord, these people have come tonight to hear from you, not from me. They've come to hear from your word, which you've magnified above all your name. And God, we're grateful tonight. We're grateful, Lord, that we woke up under our own power, and that we're not in a hospital bed or a prison cell or a grave. We still have time, even if it's only one more day, we still have time to get something done for you. So I ask you, God, to cleanse this meeting, Lord, this cyber congregation, and remove anything between us and you that offends, God. We know that you're pure and you're holy and you're sovereign and you're just and you're right. And we bow down before you. We bow down before you and say, fill us up, Lord, and help us. Open the eyes and ears of our spiritual understanding and teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach us what you would have us to know tonight. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't you just love to say the name of Jesus Christ? Revelation says this, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last, and he's the beginning and the end, and he's everything in between. The Bible says that all things consist by him. And in him, we have our being, our very existence. Do you know why you can't lose your salvation, why you're always saved? If you've ever been saved, you remain saved for all eternity. Not by works of righteousness, which I have done, which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. He is forever our high priest, making intercession to God the Father for us. And why? Because God's been so good to me and you.
I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
The Bible says, "But thou, O men of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." All through the Bible tells us to fight the good fight. The Bible says that endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's the battle that you and I are in. And brothers and sisters, as I remind you all the time, we are in the last days. We are in the very last of the last days. And we are so close to the end of everything that we are beginning to see our dispensation, which is the age of grace, it is beginning to overlap with the next dispensation, which is going to be the time of Jacob's trouble, from Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And what we see right now is we see an unsaved world preparing to go through the tribulation. They don't know that they're going to go through it, but guess what? They're going to go through it. And we see what we see now is we see the church age is shutting down. That's what's happening. Maybe you've heard preachers who tell you that a great revival is coming. Raise your hand in the chat room if you hear preachers these days saying that a great revival is coming. Maybe you know some Pentecostal preachers. Maybe you know some charismatic preachers. But there are preachers today that say that a great revival is getting ready to sweep the land. Let me tell you something. There is no revival coming. Now, I know that sounds like doom and gloom, but hey, it's called Now the End Begins for a reason. We're at the very end of our dispensation. There is no revival coming. Now, Barbara just said that revival will be during the tribulation. That's right. It will be the 144,000 male virgin Jews that will be sealed by God. But for the church age, there is no, the days of Moody and Spurgeon are over. Absolutely over. But I also have to put this thought in your head as well. It is always the time for individual revival. It is always the time for personal revival. You know, one of the things that my website being shut down since Thursday night, God has been using that to get a hold of me and to kind of wake me up and give me a little bit of a wake-up call. And I consider myself sufficiently awake now. and in just a little bit, we're going to talk about what has happened to Now the End Begins and what the future conceivably holds for this ministry. But God started Now the End Begins, and He used me to start it, but God started it. And there's a lot of people that hate this ministry, a lot of Christians that hate this ministry. There are people in my life all the time who come up to me and they say, one person said to me just a half hour ago, I didn't know that you were associated with this thing called Now the End Begins. Is that you? And I said, yes, it is. And they said, well, I can't be your friend anymore because that's just too narrow-minded and too dogmatic and too intolerant for me. And that happens all the time. It happens all the time. But these are the last days, and God is getting ready to separate the wheat from the chaff. And you have to pick a side. You absolutely have to pick a side, because this whole thing is, the wheels are getting ready to come off this whole thing, and we're getting ready to go up, and this world, this unsaved world, is getting ready to go down. And it's just going to be crazy, 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 crazy time. But we're saved by the blood of the crucified one, and that's something to rejoice over. saved by the blood of the crucified one, the Bible says this: know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. These are the days that we live in. We are living in the last days. We are living in the time immediately preceding the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. The rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ is something that Paul talks about. It is a pre-tribulation rapture. And the Bible says that it comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is what is on deck for us right now. It could happen tonight. But rest assured, it is going to happen soon, soon and very soon. What we leave behind is an unsaved world who right now is preparing to go through the tribulation. If you could go to the Now the End Begins website right now, you would see what the theme verse for Now the End Begins is. And it's not a New Testament Bible verse, believe it or not. The theme verse for Now the End Begins is Joel 3:16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and shall utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of his children of Israel. After we leave, it is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's why the church is not found in Matthew 24. That's why the church does not go through the tribulation, because it is not our time. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. And Revelation chapter 1 says, and they whom pierced him shall see him, and all the world shall wail because of him. You know, when you rightly divide your Bible and you put everything in its proper place, it all begins to make sense after a while. And then you see that there are no contradictions. If you have a King James Bible where God has preserved his word, if you rightly divide that book and you put everything in its proper place, there are no conflicts of any kind, none at all. But you have to rightly divide to get there.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean.
ensalmed in glory. His face I at last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to see.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again.
Top order of business this evening. As you all know at this point, NowTheEndBegins.com has not been a functioning website since Thursday evening. And I'm going to just take a few minutes and we're going to pray for Now The End Begins. But let me tell you the story first. It actually started on Thursday late afternoon. And Jerry Ungurian, who writes for Now The End Begins, writes some great articles, and I had asked her to write a very, very explosive article on the Muslim practice of female genital mutilation. And for those of you who know what that is, it's a very barbaric, disgusting medical practice that Muslim male doctors force a lot of their women to undergo, and look it up sometime. It's just, it's a horrible, horrible, like something that you would, it's just really, really bad. It's called FGM, or female genital mutilation. And so I asked Jerry to put together an article about that from the Muslim perspective, and she did. And I started to add some artwork to it, and I began to go through her piece and do the editing that I do and get it ready to be published. And I hit the publish button, and no sooner had I hit that button than I realized that the article was not reposting on my social media channels. It wasn't reposting in Twitter. It wasn't reposting in Facebook. And I really couldn't figure out what was going on. And then later on that evening, I began to get calls from people saying that in certain parts of the country, you could not access the website. And I thought it was a server problem. So I got on the phone with my tech guy, and we start going over a few things. And there's a number of websites on my server, and all those websites had no problem at all. It was simply Now The End Begins. And so by Friday morning, I had figured out that it was a problem with the name itself, not with the website where the files are, but it was a problem with the domain name, the URL. And it was no longer resolving. You know, when you go to a website, let's say that you go to google.com and you type that in, you hit enter, what happens is the internet browser takes the request that you just made and it resolves it to whatever files live at the name that you just asked it to go find. Well, Now The End Begins, as of late Thursday, was no longer resolving. And so Friday morning, I contacted the domain registrar where I had registered the name back in 2009. And they told me that the reason why it wasn't working is because the site had to be verified. And for those of you, this gets a little bit technical, and I'm just trying to keep it very high level. But there's a company called ICANN, I-C-A-N-N. It's called the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. And ICANN controls all the Internet names that there ever were or ever will be. And they told me that because my web name, not the website, but the web name was not verified, that they had suspended the ability of the name to resolve itself when you go to request it. So they sent me an email and they said, click on this button and verify your information. So look, here's the part that I want you to understand. At this point on Friday morning around 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm still thinking that it's a problem on my end that I never verified the website. So I'm thinking, okay, this is not an attack. I'm not being persecuted by the government. I simply didn't perform this bookkeeping step. And as a result, they suspended my name. So I clicked verify website and I was taken to a page where it said, nowtheendbegins.com is now verified. Thank you for verifying your web name. And I got back on the phone with the domain people and they said, okay, within 2 hours, your website will be back up. So I went to the mall and I went out and had breakfast or lunch and just kind of cleared my head for a little bit. And then I got back around 1 o'clock and the website was still not up. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, the website was still not up. So then finally they said to me, well, the reason why your website is not up is because when you verified your site, your Whois information says that you live in Mumbai, Africa. Somebody had gone into my account and changed my address from an American address to an African address, which made the whole thing look really shaky and really bad. So ICANN says that we cannot unsuspend your name because your Whois information is bad. It's bad information. And so at this point, I'm thinking, who would have changed my address to Mumbai, Africa, and to make it look like I was scamming people? And so I went online and I changed my address to the proper address, and then I submitted it back to ICANN, and they went dead. They didn't talk to me Friday night. They wouldn't talk to me Saturday. They didn't talk to me today. So what started out looking like it was a clerical error on my part at the beginning, by the end of the thing, it almost looks like someone is doing this intentionally to keep the website offline. Now, I'll know a whole lot more tomorrow morning when the ICANN people supposedly are back at their desks and whatever the case may be. But let's pray right now and ask for the Lord's blessing and ask for His will to be done in this situation, because we really need to have this website come back up. I have other web names that I could use. I have nowtheendbegins.org. I have nowtheendbegins.info. Have nowtheendbegins.net, but I really wouldn't want to have to start all over from scratch. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing on the website. Heavenly Father, we come before You as a group. There's dozens, hundreds of people, Lord, who are praying right now. And we are in one accord. We are in agreement, Lord. We're in agreement that we ask that Your will be done in this situation. We ask, Father God, that You have the power. Your word says that you set up kings and you take down kings. Lord, I believe, I know in my heart that You gave me this ministry back on December 22nd of 2009, the day that I registered this web name. And Lord, if you want to shut this thing down, then we thank you for the 5 years that you gave us. Lord, I'm thinking you don't want to shut us down. And we just reach out in faith and we ask you, Lord, to overturn the workings of the enemy. And get Now the End Begins, Lord, back online and up and running as only you can do, as only you can do. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we ask you to bless this time together. Open up your word to us. Lord, we're going to be talking about some big topics tonight about the end times. Open up your word in a fresh and mighty way. And we ask it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So that's what's going on with the website. Hopefully we will be back up tomorrow. And look, we live in the last days. We live in the end times. The Apostle Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are on the front lines. We are on the front lines. Now, just so that you guys know, all the radio show broadcasts have never been stored on the website. All the radio show broadcasts are on blogtalkradio.com/NTEB. So you don't ever have to worry about this show stopping. This show does not depend on the website to operate. So they are separate. They are separate. Barbara says, do we have their email that we can all bombard them? That's a great idea, but let's hold off on that. Let's just see what the Lord will do tomorrow. We don't want to get ahead of him. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Let's let God fight our battle here. And let's see what he will do in getting us up and running. And with that, tonight's Bible study topic, the Bible Believer's Guide to the One World Religion of the Great Tribulation. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about what the religion of the last days in the time of the Great Tribulation will be all about. Have you ever heard of the expression called the One World Religion? Raise your hands in the chat room if you've ever heard the expression One World Religion. What this refers to is that in the time of the Great Tribulation, everybody is getting together. Everybody, all these groups, they're starting out extremely separate, and then they become clumps, and then they become big clumps, and then they become just a handful of clumps, and then they just become one final mongrel congregation. And that's what we call the One World Religion. So tonight, please keep the chatting in the chat room limited only to talking about what the topic is. And we have a lot of ground to cover. And this is going to be a red meat Bible study. If you've come here looking for milk, if you've come here looking to have your feelings taken care of, if you've come here looking for your blessing or your validation, you will not find it here tonight. Tonight we have old-fashioned, hardcore, frontline, red meat, King James only Bible study. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Please to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now, in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is talking about the church. And Jesus gives his revelation of what is to come to the Apostle John. In chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, it all talks about the church age. Now, chapter 3 ends with the last church age in our dispensation. It's called the Church of Laodicea. And this is the lukewarm church that Jesus spits out of his mouth because he cannot stand it. And then something very interesting happens in the very next chapter, Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, did you know that the Apostle John is the longest living apostle? Did you know that the Apostle John was the disciple that Jesus loved? Do you know that the Apostle John here is being taken up in a type picture of the rapture of the church? John represents the church. So in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's all about the church. And then the very person who represents the church, you even recall that Jesus said that there was an apostle that would not die until he saw Jesus return. That's John. And John saw Jesus return in his revelation. Revelation 4 says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And this is what John saw when he looked at the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now stop right there. John gets up into heaven, and he hears a voice like it was a trumpet. He's not hearing a trumpet. He is hearing the trump of God, which is God's voice, which sounds like a trumpet. And John, who represents the church, is taken up in a type picture of the rapture. This is why we say it's a pre-tribulation rapture. And John gets to heaven, and he sees these incredible, marvelous things. Look down in verse Revelation 4:8. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, turn the page. Turn the page. Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Stop right there. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. This is Jacob's trouble. Right here in Daniel 12, Daniel says there shall be a time of trouble. This is Jeremiah 30, verse 7. This is Matthew 24. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people, the Jewish people, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 2 is the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 of Daniel 12, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, you probably forgot why I asked you to turn to Daniel, but here's why. Look at verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of when? The end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now turn back to Revelation chapter 5 and look at those verses one more time. Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. This sealed book in Revelation 5 is the book that Daniel was told to close in Daniel chapter 12. And now, after the rapture of the church and right before the beginning of the time of Jacob's trouble, now we have this book of prophecy that the angel Gabriel gave Daniel back in Daniel chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12. Now, Mark says, so the book is not open yet. No, the book is not open yet. And this is why we rightly divide the Bible, because if you look back in the last 150 years of human history, people were not talking about the rapture of the church. People were not talking about Israel being regathered until about the middle to the late 1800s. Okay? Juanita says we are called up before the book is open. That's exactly right. But people did not begin to talk about the regathering of Israel really up until the time of Schofield and Larkin. When you read Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin, Larkin is very, very much aware that Israel is about to be regathered. He doesn't know when it's going to happen, but within, I will say, within 30 years of Larkin writing Dispensational Truth, within 30 years of the publication of that book, Israel was regathered as a nation. But it was not for the 1200s or the 1300s or the 1400s or the 1500s or the 1600s or the 1700s or most of the 1800s. It wasn't until the start of the 20th century that Bible scholars began to wake up. God began to wake up his people and say, I want you to start talking about Israel being regathered, because that time period is getting ready to happen. So you have Clarence Larkin, who wrote Dispensational Truth, and then within 30 years of that, Israel becomes a nation. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that because the reason why there is so much talk about the end times now is because the rapture is a kitten's whisker away from happening. And the time of the great tribulation is literally right around the corner. And that book is getting ready to be opened. So now turn back to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And incidentally, May 14th, 2018 will be 70 years since Israel was regathered. May 14th, 2018, it will be 70 years since Israel was regathered. I would look for some sort of rapture activity around that time period. Barbara says, did Larkin suffer mocking for his dispensational theology? And he did. But guess what? Larkin was used by God to teach every single generation of Bible believers for the last 100 years about dispensational truth. And anybody who says that God did not write the Bible dispensationally is not a Bible believer. And there is just no way that God did not write the Bible dispensationally. So back to Revelation chapter. But look, you guys, everyone here who listens to this show on a regular basis, every one of you should have a copy of Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truth. Next to the Bible, my personal opinion, I believe that dispensational truth outside of the Bible is the greatest book ever written by man. So it costs about $45. Get the hard copy. Don't get the paperback. Get the hard copy with the old-fashioned cover and the old-fashioned fonts and the printings. But dispensational truth will make a Bible believer out of you. I promise you it will. All right, let's get back to Revelation chapter 5. So John says in verse 3 that there is no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, that was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And then John says, I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look upon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereon. When we come back, we are going to open Daniel's sealed book. And I promise you that the next hour will blow you away. When we come back, Daniel's sealed book will be opened, and we will see what the religion of the time of the Great Tribulation is going to be. It's going to be an amazing, maybe the best hour that you'll ever spend looking at Bible prophecy. Stay with us. Don't go away. get back to our Bible study this evening, let me just take 60 seconds to remind you that there are lost people in your life who, if they were to die tonight, would wind up in hell. And you can stand in the gap for the lost people that God puts in your path. And the best way to do that is to order a box of Christian tracks from ChristiansFriends.com. I just put the link into the chat room. Please, please, please pray about clicking on that link. And if you don't have the chat room opened, please go to ChristiansFriends.com and click on the link for free gospel tracks. And our friends, Kim and Carol Magdalene, will be happy to send you a free box of these tracks. It costs just a couple dollars for the shipping, but the tracks themselves are completely free, and they will send you a box of 210 beautiful, glossy Christian tracks. So please, if you care about the lost and dying people in your life, like the Lord commands you to, handing a lost person a Christian tract is a great way to witness. So please pray about that and go to ChristiansFriends.com and get your free box today. All right, back to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Right before the break, I told you that we were going to open Daniel's sealed book. Well, you might ask me, well, if Daniel's sealed book doesn't happen until after the rapture, how could I open his book for you tonight? Well, I'm going to show you what Daniel's sealed book is. So Revelation chapter 5, it says this in verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb," this is Jesus Christ, "as it had been slain, having seven heads and seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book," this is Daniel's book, "out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, every one of them having harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And look what they did. They sang a new song." Do you know why they're singing a new song? Because something new is happening. "Thou art worthy to take the book. 3,500 years of human history have gone by. And now the Lamb is ready to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain and has redeemed us to God." Now, in verse 9, this is the church right here. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." This is the church right here. And where is the church? The church is not on earth anymore. Why is the church not on the earth? Because Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 has happened. This is the church, our dispensation, after the rapture, standing before the throne room of God. Now, if you're a member of the Christian church, if you've been saved, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb who is worthy to open the book, I want you to pay close attention where we stand when this book is opened. Because when I show you what's inside this book, a cold chill is going to go down your spine. Why do we say it's a pre-tribulation rapture? Because here's the church, no longer on earth, standing before the throne room of God after John is taken up by the voice with the sound of a trumpet. See, I told you that this hour is going to blow your head away. Trust me when I tell you this. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, "Thou hast redeemed us to God." the church, by thy blood, that's Jesus on the cross, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is the reign we were promised. This is the inheritance that we were promised, okay? We are called to be a peculiar people. We are called to be kings and priests. This is what we were saved to do. Verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the angels, elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This is millions and millions and millions and millions of people. Stealth Arrow says, are there any scriptures that says Christians will not reign on earth after the judgment seat of Christ? Because I heard that some may not come back. Well, I can only give you the short answer to that question because we don't have time to go into that tonight. But the reason why Paul says that there is a terror associated with the judgment seat of Christ is because the Bible appears to teach that even though you can never lose your salvation, you can lose your inheritance, and part of that inheritance could absolutely be forfeiting the right to come back on the white horses from Revelation 19:14. Now, we don't have time to get into all that tonight, but yes, there are scriptures that teach that losing your inheritance could absolutely be forfeiting your right to return on white horses. You're still saved. You're still in heaven, but that's why we do works after we are saved, because we really, 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 you know, look, so many people have come up to me and said, I don't care about getting crowns. I just want to, you know, go to heaven. But you know what? Those crowns must be really important, because Jesus, all through the New Testament, tells us to earn as many crowns as we can. It has nothing to do with stocking up goods or prizes or coveting crowns. The reason why we want to earn crowns is because God tells us that we should. So, back in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and I heard and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The reason why the Lamb is receiving these things now is because he is preparing the world for his return, and he is preparing the world for his kingdom. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, turn the page. Look what we have here. Revelation chapter 4 is the rapture. Revelation chapter 5 is the church before the throne room of God and the sealed book of Daniel being opened. Revelation chapter 6, this is what comes out of that sealed book. Verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, these are the four horsemen of the book of Revelation. There is a white horse, there is a red horse, there is a black horse, and there was a pale horse. Many, many people teach many different things. Some people say that these horses are Islam and the Catholic Church. Some people, I heard it said just a couple of days ago that there's somebody teaching right now who says that one of the horses is communism, one of the horses is socialism, one of the horses is capitalism, and it's just, I honestly, I don't want to make fun of anybody, but that really, I don't know where they get those things from this passage, but in Revelation 6:2, the white horse and the person sitting upon the white horse is the Antichrist. He comes as a counterfeit of Jesus Christ. That's why he has a white horse. That's why he has a crown. And he's going forth to conquer and to conquer. The white horse is the Antichrist, masquerading as Jesus Christ. Jeanette just says this is literal. Yes. These are literal things that are happening. And then it says, verse 3, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Now let's look at who this second horse is. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereupon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So who is the second horse? The second horse is taking peace from the earth. The second horse is judgment. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This third horse is more judgment. Remember, there are vile judgments, bowl judgments, trumpet judgments, and seal judgments. That's what these horses represent. And then verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Now look who is on the fourth horse. Verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was death, and hell followed with him. This is not communism. This is not capitalism. This is not Islam. This is not the Catholic Church. This is death. This is the same death that on Passover night in Egypt, the death angel killed all the firstborn that didn't have the lamb's blood on their door. This fourth horse is death and hell, literal death. And look at what follows him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. So in Revelation chapter 6, we see the opening of Daniel's sealed book. Now do you see what Daniel's sealed book contains? Jackie, could you repost for me Jeremiah 30, verse 7, please? When Daniel was given this great prophecy of the end times, and he was told to seal it until that time, it was the time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Israel's trouble, of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Daniel's sealed book is the tribulation of the nation of Israel and the tribulation that comes upon the entire world. That's what Daniel's sealed book is. So when this book is opened, out comes the tribulation. And if you're taking notes, the time of the great tribulation starts. The rapture starts in chapter 4. The church before the throne room of God is chapter 5. The opening of the sealed book is chapter 5. The start of the tribulation is chapter 6. And then here we go. Daniel's sealed book is now opened, and all these things begin to happen. And look at what happens. Look down in verse 13, Revelation 6, 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs. This is Joel chapter 3, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is the book of Isaiah now. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, what is the title of this Bible study? The Bible study tonight is the Bible Believer's Guide to the One World Religion during the time of the Great Tribulation. But the things that I'm about to tell you now have to be understood within the context that I just gave you. It has taken me 45 minutes. This is just my introduction to tonight's lesson, because you need to know what Daniel's sealed book represents. You need to know for a fact that the church does not go through the tribulation. Obviously, you can. I just gave you 7 or 8 proofs that show that the church is not here during the time of the tribulation. And then now we're going to see on earth what these people will be worshiping. Now look in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, now hold on, God's stopping something. And it says here, and I heard, verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Before the tribulation gets going, God is going to seal his 144,000 witnesses. And I'll just read verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. 144,000 male virgin Jews from the nation of Israel. And it goes all the way down to 7:17, where it takes you to the end of the tribulation. It says here, 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now that's the end of the book of Revelation. There are 4 places in the book of Revelation where God gives you a complete overview and takes you to the very end of the tribulation and then goes back to telling the story. All right? I'm going to repeat that one more time because I really want you to understand that. The book of Revelation is written chronologically from start to finish. It is given to you in order. But what confuses people There are four sections of the book of Revelation where God pulls over to the side, he parks the car, and he says, okay. And then he gives you a complete soup to nuts, and he takes you to the end of the tribulation in these parenthetical sections. And then when he's done telling you that, in the very next verse, he goes back into the timeline. So that's what you have to keep in the back of your mind when you're reading the book of Revelation, that God is giving you these parenthetical sections where he's giving you an overview, and he parks the car and he takes you forward. So that's what you just have to keep in mind. And if you're taking notes, I'll just simply tell you where there's those four parenthetical sections are. They are in chapter 6. They are in chapters 7 through 11. They are in chapters 12 through 14. And they are in chapters 15 through 19. So the tears are wiped away at the end of the millennium. So when you just read in Revelation 7:17 that the tears are wiped away, that is not the tribulation. That's the end of the millennium. God is giving you that parenthetical overview, and he does that four times in the book of Revelation. All right, let's turn to Revelation chapter 8. And now look what happens here. Revelation 8:1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. There was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And do you know why there is silence in heaven? Because God is getting ready to start the whole thing. Revelation chapter 6 told you what was coming. Revelation chapter 7 seals the 144,000 witnesses. Revelation chapter 8, Jeanette just said, chilling silence. The reason why it's a chilling silence is because now all the prelude is done. All the actors have taken the stage. And now look what happens. And I saw the verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given, this is like the Old Testament system, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Stop right there. Now we have the start of the judgments of the Great Tribulation. And we don't have time to go into what those judgments are. We've covered it on many different programs. Turn to Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded. The number 5 in the Bible is a number for death and judgment. And I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Do you know who lives in the bottomless pit? And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke and the pit. Jeanette just said, notice that how when God goes back to the Jews, the Old Testament ways come back. That's right. And that's why all the people with the Hebrew roots movement, they're in the wrong dispensation. The people in the Hebrew roots movement are acting like people in the tribulation. They are trying to have Jesus Christ without being a Christian. In the tribulation, people will get saved, they will have Jesus Christ, but they will not be saved by grace. We are saved by grace. Self arrow says that's why Jesus says in Matthew 24:21 that no other time would be like this, because this is the time of Jacob's trouble. You know what? I'm just going to say that Matthew 24 is the time of Jacob's trouble from now until the day the rapture happens, and all the post-tribulation people really can just choke on it, because the church is not in the tribulation. Getting back to Revelation chapter 9. So the key to the bottomless pit opens up the bottomless pit. And look what verse 6 says. And in those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, I told you that this Bible study would be a Bible study on the one world religion. Down in verse 20, and now we have our first clue as to what the religion of the end times in the tribulation will consist of. Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Now, here it is, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. If you're taking notes, write this down. And it's taken me an hour to lay the groundwork for you to understand the context. In the time of the Great Tribulation, it is going to be Old Testament idol worship. They are going to be making gods and idols and devils out of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, just like they did in the groves of the Old Testament that God hated. God hates idol worship more than he hates fornication, more than he hates murder and robbery and lying and pride. God hates idol worship. Worship. And here you have in Revelation 9:20 our first clue as to the religion of the tribulation. And because we are living in a time where our dispensation is beginning to overlap with the dispensation that's coming, we are seeing that there are different groups who are creating idols to worship and to pray to. Verse 21 says, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. So that is what's happening in the time of the tribulation, and that's our first clue with worship. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like on, this is Daniel's beast, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and a dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. And then look down where it says, where are we here? Verse 11, Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake to the dragon. This is the false prophet. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused all the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Satan's people are going to come with great wonders and signs and miracles. So that is part two of the religion of the Great Tribulation, signs, miracles, and wonders from the devil and the devil's people. Now, look down to verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, the religion of the Great Tribulation is idol worship. It is the mark of the beast. It is the false prophet. It is the unholy trinity. Stealth Arrow says his wound where his eye is put out. Yes, that wound is healed in 13:3. And I saw one of his wounds, one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 17. So far, we have idol worship, we have paganism, we have the mark of the beast, we have the Antichrist and the false prophet and the dragon. And now we see something which makes John's head absolutely melt. Revelation 17:1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. This is the same beast that came up in Revelation 13:1. This, hold on now, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. Now here is what fried John's brain. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will show thee the mystery of the woman. This woman, obviously, is the Roman Catholic Church. There is nothing else that it could possibly be. This is not Islam. This is not the Quran. Because when John sees this, look back in verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. John, he's absolutely freaking out. Because do you know what he sees? He sees the professing Christian church on earth as the killer of Christians. So now let's review. The religion of the Great Tribulation is going to be idol worship. It is going to be paganism. It is going to be the mark of the beast. It is going to be signs, miracles, and wonders with the false prophet. And in Revelation 17 and 18, it is going to be the Roman Catholic Church. Now here's, I've just given you Bible. Now let me give you my opinion. I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is going to bring under their banner, and I can't give you the links now because my site's down, but the Roman Catholic Church is going to bring into their banner, they're going to bring Islam, they're going to bring Kabbalah, they're going to bring New Age spiritualism. The Catholic Church is like a magnet, is going to gather every false religion that this world knows, and they will all be combined under the banner of the Catholic Church. Stealth Arrow just said, would that be Chrislam? That will be Chrislam, but just you have to think bigger than that. Jerry did a series of stories a couple weeks ago about the Lucius Trust at the United Nations and how satanic New Age spiritualists run the United Nations. Now, I can't give you those links because the site's down, but I believe that the Catholic Church is going to draw into itself paganism, Islam, Chrislam, idol worship, New Age spiritualism, Satanism, and all those other things, but it's going to be under the banner of the Roman Catholic Church. They will control everything. Look back at Revelation 17:2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The Catholic Church is, after the rapture, is going to bring everybody into itself. And I believe the Pope, whoever the Pope is at that time, the Pope is going to be the false prophet from Revelation 13. And it is going to be a Catholic system. Jackie Bellinton just said that she was a Catholic once, and they mix everything and believe anything. That is a great way to describe the Catholic Church. I was a Catholic for 28 years, and they absolutely mix everything, and they believe anything. So that's what you're going to have. You're going to have paganism, idol worship, Satanism, Islam, Chrislam, 666, the mark of the beast, and signs, miracles, and wonders. Now, I have just enough time to show you something incredibly amazing. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to make it very, very 2015 for you right now. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And you really got to pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Romans chapter 1. Now, I don't have time to read the whole chapter to you, but I want to show you what the context of Romans chapter 1 is. Look down in verse 15. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, you guys got to pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The context of Romans chapter 1 is the preaching of the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. This is the context that we're establishing. But now look at what it says in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Now, watch this now. for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, stay with me on this, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, because they rejected the truth, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And so we have God's truth being turned into a lie. Remember, this is about the religion of the tribulation, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. This is animal worship. This is human worship. More than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, I want to show you something. Look at what pops up. Paul says he's not ashamed of the power of the gospel because people get saved. And then he says that people who reject the truth, their foolish hearts are darkened. And then it says in verse 26, for this cause, what cause? Animal worship, rejecting God, pagan worship. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, and look at what shows up, for lesbianism, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and then homosexuality, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust towards one another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, turn to Job chapter 41. Turn to Job chapter 41. We have human worship. We have animal worship. We have bestiality. This is all the religion of the tribulation. And how do I know that? Look at what Job 41 talks about. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Leviathan, Mr. Ken Ham, if you're listening, Leviathan is not a dinosaur. Leviathan is the devil. And how do we know that this is the devil? Well, look at this animal that is described. When you have time, go back and read this. Job 41, the Leviathan is the devil himself, as an unbelievably big dragon. But now, go all the way down to the bottom. All the way down to the bottom. Are you ready for this? I'm going to land the plane right here, right now. Job 41, 31, he maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Now listen to me now. What does the LGBT movement call themselves? They are the what movement? Come on, you guys know this. The LGBT call themselves what movement? You guys know this. They call themselves the pride movement. You Google it right now. They are gay pride, lesbian pride, transgender pride, 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 pride. But look at Job 41, 34 again. He is the king over all the children of pride. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped, Romans 1:25, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. God gave them up to vile affections, lesbianism, homosexuality. They are the children of pride that are under Leviathan. Turn back to Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to be almost done. Revelation chapter 13. Who do you see in verse 1? You know who you see? Revelation 13, verse 1. Let's look at it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Here's Leviathan in all his glory. And here's your one world religion. Idolatry, pagan worship, animal worship, human worship. The mark of the beast, 666, signs, miracles, and wonders, the Roman Catholic Church, the false prophet who is the Pope, and you have the entire LGBT movement, because they are the children of pride, and the king of the children of pride is Leviathan. Leviathan is the devil, and there is your one world religion. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, from cover to cover. There it is. There is your one world religion. Everybody's saying goosebumps, goosebumps. The Lord gave me this teaching in the past couple of days, and believe me when I tell you, it came up in conversations that I was having with friends of mine, just casual conversations about the Bible. And I heard these words coming out of my mouth, and God, just while I was having these conversations, just connected everything together for me. And I'm like, I know exactly what the Lord wants me to teach on Sunday night. And now Jerry just said, that's why the devil, Leviathan, brought down my website. But you know what? Now the end begins is God's ministry. And Leviathan may have brought it down, but I believe that God's going to raise it back up again tomorrow. I believe that sometime tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest, we will be back online. I believe that God will restore this website. I do not think that we are done or anything even close to it. I think God was just giving, you know what? I think God was just trying to show us. Now look, give me just 3 minutes to get this thought to you, okay? Can you imagine what it would be like if Now the End Begins and all the other hundreds of sites like it? And there's some really good websites out there. My friend Ricky Scaparo with End Time Headlines and the Prophecy and the News people, and Chuck Missler. There's lots of really good people out there trying to get some rapture ready. There's lots of really good people trying to get something done for the Lord. But can you imagine what it would be like if all these websites were shut down and we didn't have them anymore? So look, do me a favor. When Now the End Begins comes back online tomorrow, let's not take it for granted. Let's really appreciate this resource that we have. And we're tied in. Brett just said that all the YouTube preachers reference my website. And they do. They do. Now the End Begins is the most visited Bible prophecy website in the world. We get more traffic than anybody else. That's not because we're better. That's just what God's doing with it. That's all. And you know what the Lord did? for the past 4 days, he's given us a taste of what it would be like without it. So when it comes back online tomorrow, and I believe that it will, let's really appreciate the time that we have left. Let's really try and get something done for the Lord. And order Christian tracks. Witness to your friends and neighbors. Try to get as many people saved as you can in these last days. Now, I'm just going to review one more time. The religion of the Great Tribulation is idol worship. It's pagan worship. It's the worship of animals. It's the worship of human beings. It is the Catholic Church uniting every false religion under its tent. It is the mark of the beast. It is 666. It is the Antichrist with signs, miracles, and wonders. It is the Pope as the false prophet. And it is the LGBT pride movement whose king is Leviathan, the devil. I hope this Bible study helped you tonight. I hope that there was something here that shows you how close we are to the end of everything. And let's just close tonight's broadcast in prayer. And let's ask the Lord to do something with us in these last days. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time and we thank you for this Bible study and we thank you for Now the End Begins. And we, Lord, we believe and agree by faith that you're going to restore Now the End Begins. We ask you to, Lord. We ask that your will be done in this situation. And we believe, Lord, that you were just giving us a short little taste of what it would be like if we didn't have sites like Now the End Begins. So, Lord, thank you for giving us a sharpened vision of the end times, and we see how close the rapture is and how close the tribulation is and how unbelievably terrifying this one world religion is going to be. And even now we see that the people who are going to be propagating that religion, those people exist right now. But Lord, maybe we can get a few of those people saved. Maybe we can witness to the gay people and the lesbians and the pagan worshipers and the Satanists, and maybe we can hand them some gospel tracts and pray and see them get saved. But Lord, I pray now, Lord, for the body of Christ. And I know that there are people listening to this program all over the world, in Australia and in Thailand and in Canada and all over Europe and all over Asia. And I thank you, Lord, for the outreach that you've given us. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And Lord, I ask you to do something with each one of us, with Jackie and Brett and Suzanne and Jerry and Lainey and Christy and Mark and me and Barb and, Lord, everybody who comes into these rooms, and Jeanette and Juanita and Louise. All of us, Lord, every single one of us, set us on fire, Lord. Give us the heavenly vision. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 26 that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision that you gave him. And as a result of him being obedient to the vision, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, and I have finished my course. And I ask you, Lord, that your blessing be upon me, that you would help us to fight the good fight, to keep the faith, and to finish the course that you've given us. And Lord, we pray all these things in your precious and holy name, and we believe by faith that it's according to your will that you'll get something done with us in these last days. And we ask it, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I know we... maybe the most scripture we've ever covered in a single, well, that's not true, but it was certainly in the top five. And I hope this program helps you. And I hope really it was as much of a revelation to you as it was to me, and to see how intricate, when God opens up Daniel's sealed book in the tribulation, Lord, we thank you that we're not going to be here. We're going to be where you are. We're going to be Revelation chapter 5. We're going to be around your throne room, and we're going to be up in the balcony while the battle rages below us. Thank you, Father God. You're good to us, and we appreciate it. Everybody, have a great week. Are filled with gospel tracts and Christian tracts, and go out and get something done for the Lord while there's still time. Good night, everybody, and good night, Kristen. We'll see you soon.